Hi, this is Dennis Byrd, and you're listening to the 5%ers podcast, where we'll learn why it is that only 5% of people who lose weight never gain it back. I'll bring my expertise in life coaching, my advanced studies in psychology, and my own personal story of beating obesity so we can learn new ways of thinking and adopt powerful strategies to lose weight and keep it off for life. You're listening to the 5%ers podcast, episode number 49, Building Mental Toughness, interview with Sean Goodsell, part two. Well, I hope wherever you are today, you're having a great day. We are definitely getting busier as we're gearing up for the holidays. And one of the things that I've noticed is that more and more people are starting to hit the gym. I think in anticipation of the new year, they want to get a head start on their health goals. And it's just one of those things that I see year after year, December, January, February, the gyms get more and more crowded. And one of the things that I've really come to the conclusion is that in order to achieve your long-term goals in life, whether it's around your health, around your career, or around your relationships, is you have to be mentally tough because there's going to be all kinds of things that come at us on a daily basis that could throw us off track. So this interview with Sean Goodsell, I think, has been one of the best that I've done all year. There's so much great information that you're going to be able to take, and Sean really lays out concrete steps about what you can do to build more mental toughness in your life so you can get as much out of life as you want. Before we get into the interview, just want to remind you that I've been releasing chapters of my new book, Get Smart and Get Slim, and I'll be posting a new chapter each week about midweek, Wednesday or Thursday, so that'll be coming out in just a few days. If you'd like to see all the chapters, you can go to my website at dennisbyrd.org. Click on the tab that says Get Smart and Get Slim, and then you'll see all the chapters that have been posted up to this point. Also, what would really be helpful to me is if you're willing to give me feedback on iTunes or Stitcher. I know that you really have to go out of your way in order to do that, but it would be a huge gift to me because my goal is I want people to experience success in their health, specifically for those that have struggled with their weight. I want to bring a message of hope and great strategies so that people can have the same experience that I've had, which is long-term frustration with their weight and their health, but now long-term success with their weight and their health. So go to iTunes and leave a great review, and what'll happen is that just sends more and more people to the podcast when they're searching for podcasts on this topic. All right, well, there's my sales pitch. Okay, well, we're going to be getting into the interview with Sean Goodsell. I encourage you to listen to this, and if you need to, re-listen to both part one and part two because there's just so much great information here that I know that you're going to get benefit if you go over this topic a couple times. All right, here we go.
Well, what we know about willpower, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people talk to me about willpower. Willpower is the ability, you know, call it willpower, call it discipline, call it whatever you want. But it's right. the ability to make a decision that overrides your level of comfort. And willpower can be trained and willpower can be strengthened and willpower can be developed. But mm-hmm. it can't be developed outside of resistance and discomfort.
Right.
So, you know, for anybody that's trying to develop their sense of willpower, all they need is a little bit of discomfort, and they need to make a decision to override the discomfort with the will to act mm-hmm. out of their best interest, not out of their interest of comfort. Yeah. And whether you have an 8-year-old at home who can't delay gratification, or whether you have an individual who can't, you know, is having a hard time using willpower to choose to eat the right foods, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, what we know about willpower is that we only have a certain amount of it on a daily basis. And once we exhaust our reservoir of willpower, our ability to make decisions beyond our level of comfort is compromised. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to your listeners that they understand that if they are seeking to improve their lifestyle, it rarely works. In a rare case, you might have a strong person who can pull this off, but it rarely works to make too many changes at one time.
Right.
If you're gonna choose to change your diet, you don't choose to change every aspect of your diet overnight.
Right.
You know, if you're looking at losing a certain amount of weight as one of your goals, you can't look at doing that in 60 days. You know, you have to break it down and look at it over a longer period of time, because one of the hallmarks of people who are mentally weak is they have unrealistic expectations about their results, and they therefore compromise and sabotage their own success because their expectations are unrealistic.
Yeah. Well, I was watching TV the other day, and they had some, I don't know if it was Weight Watchers or one of these kind of programs you sign up for, and they were saying guaranteed, you know, 5-pound weight loss in the first week.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, if I, you know, if you want to pay me $100, I'll put some duct tape over your mouth and I can guarantee you're going to lose 5 pounds in a week, you know? And so it's just, I think these unrealistic expectations that everything's got to come fast. And I think, even mental toughness is a process, you know?
Exactly.
And some days
it's a journey.
It's a journey, and you work the skills, and some days you work the skills well and other days you don't. But it's more about that progression that, you know, I'm more skillful today than I was a month ago or I was 2 months ago. And it's a progression, and it grows. And I think a lot of people are looking for, you know, we have a whole culture that just wants everything now. We want it fixed now. We want to feel better now. We want to lose weight now. We want, you know, high performance in our careers now. You know, we don't want to put in the dues, the time, the effort that it takes to get to the next level of anything. And I think that's one of the things you'll see like in elite athletes that you maybe don't see in other elite athletes or other athletes is they paid their dues. You know, they put the time in. You know, obviously they've got the skill too, but, you know, you don't show up at the Olympics and start training a month before, you know?
No, and you don't set the goal to be in the Olympics, you know, when you're just beginning to learn your craft. You know, you take progressive steps, you make progressive commitment, you get good coaching, you make appropriate adjustments. I mean, when I think about the elite athletes that I've worked with, the one thing that stands out for me about whether it's an elite athlete or an elite person is their perspective is always different than a person who's not elite. They have an optimism about growth without being Pollyanna about possibility.
Right.
And they have a strategic plan for how they're going to reach step one, and then they have a strategic plan about how they're going to reach step two, and they're just very, very methodical in how they approach their plan. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, they almost become, you know, a lot of people think being an elite athlete is exciting. If you ever watch an elite athlete train, you realize that elite athletes actually live a very boring lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
And when I say that, I mean they get up in the morning, they train, after they train, they get a good meal in them. After they get a good meal in them, they might take a nap, and after they take a nap, they might go do another form of training, and they do this year round. And there's nothing exciting about it. But it's effective. They are more concerned about effective than they are exciting.
Right. But I think what's great about this is that we can take that same stance in life and apply it to our health, to our careers, to our relationships, and have that kind of success and that focus. And I think that's where we have to make these mental, you know, shifts. We have to start developing these skills. Because I think, like, I keep going back to like what you said is that self-mastery, and that's one of the things you really, I see kind of people that are phenomenal at what they do, whether it's in business or athletics or, you know, relationships or whatever. I mean, they have mastered themselves. They know who they are. They know what they can do. They know what they can't do. And they've powered through the disappointment and through the frustration and through the discomfort to get to where they are.
Anytime you set a goal that is ambitious, you're either going to grow mental toughness or you're going to reveal your mental weakness.
Right.
Whether you're setting a goal to lose weight and change your diet, whether you're setting a goal to be more expressive in your relationships with your loved ones, whether you're trying to set an athletic goal, you want to make a team, or you want to develop some attribute. Anytime you set an ambitious goal, and you start to pursue it, you are either going to run into your mental weakness and fold, or you're going to grow mental toughness and succeed.
Right.
And there really isn't any middle ground. That's just what happens.
Yep.
And I know very few people who succeed in their ambitious goals without accountability, without quality coaching, and without a quality plan. And those three things, you know, if I'm a 5%er and I'm listening to your podcast,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to begin to take action towards, you know, becoming, whether it's my weight loss goal to become a 5%er, or I want to have a 5%er relationship with my spouse, or whether I want to improve my relationships with my kids, get a coach,
yep.
get some accountability, and develop in, you know, learn about what the best practices are to become a masterful person in the area that you want success in. Without those three things occurring, your chances of success are less than 10%.
Absolutely. Well, and I think you will often hear about somebody saying, hey, this person came out of nowhere and came onto the scene and look how phenomenal they are. This person started from scratch with nothing. But if you really dig into the story, they had a significant mentor in their life. They had access to education. They had a community around them or a family member around them. And, you know, that's where we have to get the right people in our life, because we're, you know, we're humans, we're relational. You know, I mean, the worst thing that could happen to anybody is to be isolated from other people. I mean, the worst form of punishment you can give a prisoner is not death, it's isolation.
Yeah, exactly.
And so,
you know, and
yep, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Dennis, that, you know, when I look at people that are underachieving in their life, mm-hmm. and I put myself into this category for a period of time. One of the greatest factors that leads to underachievement mm-hmm. is when people haven't let go of or grieved their losses.
Right.
You know, I in athletics, there's lots of people that have experienced loss. And what I don't mean loss of a game, I mean loss of a dream. And
right.
there are lots of people in our society that have lost significant people. They've lost children, they've lost spouses, they've lost hopes, they've lost dreams. And ungrieved, unprocessed loss is one of the main things that I see holding people back in their lives. And so I'd challenge your listeners to do an inventory of their life. If they've experienced a loss, have they worked through it?
Yeah.
Have they let it go? Have they forgiven? Those kinds of things. Because I think that's significant in whether you give away your power or not long term.
Oh, absolutely. And that's pretty powerful stuff. And I see that in my day job as I'm working with people that and coaching them and to find new jobs after they've been laid off, and how if people haven't grieved the loss of their job and the relationships that they had at that workplace, I just see them stall. Like, they can't move forward. They don't work on their job search. They don't connect with people. They don't write their resume. They don't prepare for interviews. And because they've never let go of the last thing that
right.
they really, maybe it was a company they loved being part of or a job they really enjoyed, people they enjoyed working with. If they don't let that go and grieve that loss, you can't move on. You can't get to your next goal. And
people generally fear three things.
Mm-hmm.
They fear loss, which is, it could be the loss of a lifestyle. People that are trying to change their diet fear the loss of what might occur with the foods that they eat.
Absolutely.
You know, finding new foods to eat. They fear process. Is this going to hurt?
Mm-hmm.
And then they fear outcome,
right.
which is it going to work?
Yep.
Will I put in all this work, and will my life be any better than it was beforehand? And all along the line, what people don't realize is that those fears exist if you stay the way you are too. Will you lose your dignity? Will you lose relationships? Will you lose your health as you understand it?
Yeah.
Will you be able to do the things you want to keep doing? And, you know, one of the things I'll share with your listeners that I learned just recently as it relates to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
The brain is meant to be rewired on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one element that allows us to be in charge of how we retrain our brain, and that is intentionality.
Okay.
And if I wake up in the morning and I want to change something in my life, even if it's one small thing, it's I want to drink more water today. It's not that I don't want to drink pop. It's I want to drink more water, or
right.
I want to have an extra hour of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I want to reach out to my kids in more powerful ways. Whatever the change is that I want, the mere intention to do so matched with an action actually hardwires your brain differently than if you just wake up without any intention and hope that these things happen.
Absolutely.
So intentionality is one of the key elements of changing the way a person thinks and a way a person lives, more so than we've ever thought before. In fact, we've learned this through neuroscience in the last 5 years in ways we never thought possible. It's having incredible results for people that are victims of stroke as well.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things I've seen, like in certain, you know, you watch the athletes warm up for their events, like in the Olympics, and you actually will see them mentally visualizing what they're going to do. And they may do small movements of what they're going to do. And that's that intentionality of saying, here's where I'm going, this is what I want to do, and picturing myself doing it, then doing it. And I think, like in, as it relates to weight loss, I've even had to implement that strategy where when I'm going to a work meeting where I know there's going to be food, I have to be very intentional about what I'm going to do once I get there. Because if I'm not, you're going to be encountering all the stuff you don't want to eat. But if I'm intentional about it, and if I've actually thought through how am I going to work that room, approach that situation, deal with other people and, you know, what they're trying to accomplish as far as, you know, hey, eat this, you know, have some of this. If I'm not intentional, I end up just giving in and just doing the things I don't want to do. And that intentionality is just huge. Yep.
That's true with every aspect of our life.
Absolutely.
If we're not intentional about how we talk to our kids, we're not intentional about how we approach our spouse,
yep.
You know, our careers, whatever we want to have success in, if we're not intentional about it, we are missing an opportunity that the best in the world are actually executing.
Yep. It's awesome stuff.
I always tell my athletes, I go, if you can't develop a picture of how you want to play, the likelihood of you playing that way is very low.
Right.
You know, the guy who, who's the guy that developed the new Tesla car?
Oh, Sergey Brin? Something like that.
Can you imagine? He probably saw that car long before he created it.
Right.
You know, and everything that is looked at as an advance in our society was imagined by somebody before it came into being.
Right.
That can be true for us as people. We can imagine the outcomes that we seek before we get them, but then the key is being able to execute actions that allow us to earn the outcomes that we seek.
Absolutely. And that, I think that's where the mental toughness thing comes in, you know, because, you know, if there was actually
I have a friend of mine who goes,
go ahead.
I have a friend of mine who says common knowledge, unfortunately, is rarely common practice.
Right.
And if knowledge is what gave us the results we sought, the self-help industry would be filled with success stories because it's a billion-dollar industry. But
right.
the percentages of people that act on new knowledge that they acquire is about 2%.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another podcast, the 2%ers, right?
Great news, huh? The 2%ers, the people that know everything but don't do anything.
Right. Yep.
New Year's resolutions can be boiled down to just do what you know.
Right, exactly.
If you just did what you knew, everyone would be fine.
Absolutely. Well, Sean, we're just about out of time. You know, this has just been an awesome conversation, so we definitely should do this again because, I mean, you're just a wealth of knowledge and wisdom, and, you know, that's why I wanted to have you on the podcast, just because mental toughness is such a key component to so many areas of life, and specifically for people listening to the 5%ers, you know, it's just can be a key component to their long-term weight loss and weight maintenance. You know, that's the key. You know, before we go, would there be one or two things that you think people could start implementing just as far as gaining skills and beginning to be more mentally tough or increasing their mental toughness?
First thing is, number one thing is set a goal.
Okay.
set something you want, you know, and make the goal something you can acquire. Like if you want to lose 5 pounds, say that's what I want to do. I want to lose 5 pounds. That's my goal.
Okay.
And so without the establishment of a clear outcome that you seek, it's really hard to build any mental toughness because it's easy to give up on it before you even start.
Right.
So set an outcome that you want.
Okay.
Number two, set an action that you're gonna execute regularly that you think gets you closer to your goal.
Okay.
And I'm a big believer, and I don't know what you think about this, Dennis. We probably are on the same page on this, but I'm a bigger believer in adding things than subtracting things.
Right.
I think that people move better towards things than they do in the elimination of things. So if you're trying to, you know, lose 5 pounds and you know that drinking more water is a significant part of that, then I would say set an action as to how much water you're going to drink and commit yourself to doing it. And then here's the third thing. Mental toughness is virtually impossible to develop without accountability. And I think that the fear of a consequence is actually more effective than the thought of a positive result. So, for instance, if I was doing this with you, Dennis, I'd say I want to lose 5 pounds. That's my first thing. Second thing is I want to eat a salad a day. That's okay. I want to just replace one of my meals with a salad. And if I don't, then I'm going to give your favorite charity $25 that week.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there's a negative outcome for my not following through. And, you know, sometimes I think we're afraid of negative outcomes because we feel like they produce, you know, negativity. Well, it's been researched to find that accountability, the fear of something negative is actually more effective than the hope of something positive.
Right. Absolutely.
And so that's where I would start. That's where I would start is set a goal, give an action, and then have an accountability. And then keep it simple. Start simple. Build on simple. Don't build on complex.
Yeah.
Because complex leads to more confusion.
Absolutely. Well, that's phenomenal stuff. I really appreciate your time today, Sean. And, you know, if people want to know more about you and what you do, where can they find you?
I appreciate that, Dennis. I can be found at Mental Edge Now, www.mentaledgenow.com. And okay. I'm on Twitter at Sean Goodsell, at Sean Goodsell is my Twitter handle. And you can find my Facebook page, Mental Edge, on Facebook. And I love, you know, Dennis, I love this stuff.
This
and
is awesome.
I love the opportunity to be with you. And, you know, after 20 plus years of friendship, I'm just really proud of what you're doing. I think you're doing great stuff. And I hope the listeners really take to what you're saying, because I think this is born out of your organic story. This isn't just a bunch of knowledge that you have read about. You actually live this stuff on a daily basis. So
yeah,
I'm proud
that.
Of you. I'm proud to be your friend, and I'm proud to be on with you today.
Yeah, well, this was awesome. And again, for those listening, if you want to find Sean, it's Sean Goodsell, just like it sounds, G-O-O-D-S-E-L-L. Well, this has been a phenomenal conversation. We're definitely going to have to do this again. And Sean, thanks again for your time, and have an awesome day. Talk to you later.
You too, my man. Yep.
Thanks for listening today, and if you found this podcast helpful, let your friends and family know about it. And if you'd like to know more about being a 5%er, you can visit my website at dennisbird.org. And remember, folks, when it comes to your health, work hard, do your best, and never give up. Have a great day, everybody.